World War Combat.
Good evening. Well, as is our normal pattern, we're going to start the class tonight with the Anabiko. Please join me. Anabiko, Gedula Chemin Ha Tati Terura Alephet Gimel Yud Tav Tzadi. Kaberinat amcha sagvenu taharenu nora kufre shayan sintet nun nagibor dorshe yehudcha kevavat Nun Gimel Dalet, Yud Kaf Shin. Barchem Tacharem, Rachamei Sidkatcha, Tamid Gamlem. Betet Reish, Sari Taf Gimel. Hasin Kadesh, Berov Tuvcha, Nael. Adatach Hetkuf Bet Ted Munayan. And the two letters that we utilize this month, the Pe and the Vav. The Vav that created the planet Noga, which is Venus. And the Pe, which created the constellation Shor. And we should always try and visualize the Pe with the internal Bet for blessing, and visualize the mouth, our mouths, expressing blessings, sharing blessings. Yachid ge'e Ramcha penei Zokre kedushatach Yud Gimel Lamed Pei Zayin Kuf Shavatenu kabel Ushma tziakatenu Yodea Talumot Shinkufav Sadiyutav. And the last line, which we say in a whisper, I will say out loud for the purposes of teaching. Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuto Leolam Vayed. Now I'm going to be reading from the Zohar a verse to bring in the energy of the blessings of the Zohar. Vayhi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maasei Adenu Kodenei Aleinu Maasei Adenu Kodeneihu Ish B'Zaracha L'Dorotam Asher Yihyeh Bo Mum Rabbi Yitzhak Amar Begin D'Yihu Pagim Uman D'Yihu Pagim la itchaze, l'shamsha, l'kudsha v'ha ukmuha, l'barnash, l'ishtakach, pagim, leit, bay, mehemnuta, v'hahu, pagimu, ashird, ale, kafshin, kahana, devaya, l'ishtakha, shalim, mare, dimhemnuta, yatir, mikola, whoever he be of your seed in their generations that has any blemish. A verse from Vayikra, chapter 21. Rabbi Yitzhak said, the reason is because he is blemished, and whoever is blemished is unfit to serve in the holy place. We explain that a blemished man has no faith, to which that blemish bears testimony. This is truer in a priest who has to be whole and faithful more than the rest. We have already explained this. This verse from the Zohar is talking about the verse from the Torah where it says that the priest needs to be whole and complete and not have any blemish. And it's using the term faith, which is used differently in Hebrew than in the traditional Western culture. The concept of faith is very different. We don't really have time to go on and explain it right now, but that is really what this verse is talking about. We have a very special guest tonight, the author of Many Mistakes, Many Lives, Rabbi Ibrahim Nassani, and I'm going to take the opportunity to do a quick interview with him. So, welcome, Rabbi Nassani.
Thank you.
So can you tell me why you wrote the book? Speaking to the phone.
I already explained in the book. Everyone should read my book. I said it. I mentioned it there.
And what was the reason?
Well, I wrote in the book, when I was in school, my teacher said I will be a writer someday, because I wrote a nice essay. But it didn't happen until 33 years later. But the main reason was that it was part of my tikkun, my correction to come back and to write the book. It was a big challenge, and for 100 times I almost deleted everything I did from the computer, because I had all the doubts and all the pressure. And finally the book went to the book design. And when it was at book design, I don't know if I told you the story. I did tell you. Oh, that's what you want to tell you.
But now you want, I want you to tell it
to everyone. So when the book went to book design, I still didn't want the book to go to print. I was going to delete and throw away everything. I was laying on bed. Usually that's when I do my meditation, either on bed or sitting, to check my actions from past life or this life. And I was meditating, and finally I said, you know, what's going on? Why? What's going on? And I had a vision while I was awake. Like I wrote in my book, I have visions and I see things like a TV. So my vision was I saw myself in Europe, and I was in Poland, and I was some kind of like religious, Jewish religious, and I was doing the things as it was supposed to be happening. But then I had the opportunity to do something, to bring out to the people the information that was needed. And I didn't do it. I was doing the study. I had the synagogue like I do now. But it had to be more to the public. And I didn't do it. And deep down, I knew I should have done it, but I didn't do what I had to do. And that part I saw, and the last thing I saw was freaking me out when I saw that. I saw that I was dead, and I saw that I was being buried, and I saw the people putting dirt on me. I was seeing that, and it was, you know, like
you were seeing yourself being buried.
I was seeing myself being buried. I saw those coming on me, and that was it. So when I saw that, then I got my answer why the book had to come out. And that was like the last, like a week before the book went to print. They didn't let me see it for all the two, three years that it took me to write the book and to go through the whole thing. They didn't let me see why the book had to come out until a week before the book went to print. So that was the reason that they were pushing me, that I had the push. I had the enthusiastic to do it, but at the same time I had all the doubt and all the negativity and all the discouragement from another kid. 100 times I didn't want to do it, and so I saw that, and then I was at ease.
So where can people buy the book?
Either they can buy it from through you or through me or Amazon.com, or they just can go to manymistakesmanylives.com, and either they can buy the hardcover or the softcover, and they can buy the Spanish there. And if they buy a hardcover, they get a free t-shirt, and the t-shirt has also a message. But if they buy from Amazon, there is no t-shirt. But if they buy through the website, my website, they can get a free t-shirt.
And what's the message on the web, on the t-shirt?
On the t-shirt in the front, it says, we are not here by coincidence, and in the back it says, everyone is here for a purpose, which means that everyone is here for a purpose.
So what are you working on now? What's your
I'm having three books at the same time. That also, I told you, another one that, you know, first it was supposed to be one, and then two, now it became three. So I should finish it before it becomes five, maybe. Because it divides, you know, it keeps dividing. So I'm working on three books at the same time, but I keep jumping. You know, I say to myself, I'm going to finish this, like this book, and then I get a flash, I get an idea, I jump to the next book. So, but I guess...
What are the three books about?
It's about kind of like the first book, but it's different. The first book is about marriage and soulmate. The second is about parenthood, but more in depth and more understanding. And the third book is about happiness.
So you bring reincarnation.
Also, yeah. That's
into
yeah.
These particular.
Well, the only way to explain is reincarnation. The only way to explain is how we are all connected to one another and reincarnation. I know some people don't want to hear about reincarnation, but it's the only way that we can understand.
It's the only way that to truly understand why bad things happen.
It's the only way to understand and the only way to connect and to realize how we can solve anything that comes across us.
On a personal level, your son's Juicine is coming up.
It's next Monday night. Monday night is Lag Baomer. I don't know if you're going to explain that. Lag Baomer is the death of Rabbi Shimon Yochai, the author of the Zohar, and is one of the most positive days of the year. We are going to be up the whole night. And we start like 10:30, and the haircut would be like 12:30, quarter to 1. And before we have a study, and then we have the haircut, and then the washing hand, breaking bread, and a small meal, and then cutting the hair, and then more study until 4 or 5, I believe, and then we have the man that do the prayer, and that's it. That would be very powerful. For me, every year is very powerful to be up for Rabbi Shimon Yochai.
Well, it's your wedding anniversary.
Also, wedding anniversary. Yeah, it's very powerful. And
so which is more important, your wedding anniversary or the cutting of your son's hair?
Well, if my wife was here, I would say the wedding anniversary. Since my wife is not here, I say the haircut. You have to be a politician, Hanok. So, but I know my wedding, which was like Baomer, it was downtown in the hotel. I know that night that Rabbi Shimon Yochai helped us. We felt it. Everyone felt that Rabbi Shimon Yochai was there and he helped us. And he's helping us anyway. You know, it doesn't have to be a wedding. That doesn't have to be a wedding. You know, it's every day that each righteous that we think they're not here, that which they are here, they are helping us to do our job, our work. If we are doing the right work, hopefully, we are doing our purpose, they will assist us.
And if you're not sure whether you're doing the right job, you just stay asking that question, you know you're on the right path.
Well, you just keep asking, like I did with my book. Just keep asking. And when you're ready and when you're at peace, then the answer would come. Then something would come across you. You know, like last week, or not this week, my kids had to, this is a good example, by the way. My children had to go to somewhere. and I didn't want him to go, but my wife wanted him to go. Because the people are not so positive, but my wife said they're only children, let them go, it's okay. So we had the whole discussion. And so what happened finally was, I said, you know, I asked God, I said, why don't you show me a sign, what I should do? Let the kids go, or just have this crazy thing with my wife, not to let them go, show me a sign. I said, you know, I asked the question, I know you're going to send me a sign. So I was driving, I went to my in-laws, they have a store downtown. So I walked in, I was like still looking around, and suddenly I turned, I saw a vase, you know, you put a flower in there, it was like a small, like a vase, like a 10 inch maybe, 12 inch, and it was written on a love.
Love?
I said, okay, and then I turned around, there's another one, I saw two at the same time. I said, so what's the message? I said, you know what? This is the message that I should have unconditional love for no matter who. And by me having unconditional love, then God would take care of my needs and take care of my children. Even if they're going at that place that they might be negative, God would take care of it because I'm putting unconditional love. So they went. You know, so they went. Maybe that's what today the glass broke. So, you know, that's the message. You know, you ask and the message comes. But you have to be open to accept it. You know, if I saw, I said, nah, love, forget it, what love? But I said, you know, and twice. So you saw unconditional love, and that's what I put in my book. I said, my God, that's what I put in my book. I wrote that we all should have unconditional love. That's the only way. Tolerance, unconditional love, and respect. So the unconditional love, you know, was when you pull it out, it has to protect you.
During the Seder over Pesach, you gave us some projections for the year that seemed to be coming true. You gave us some projections that seemed to be coming true about illness.
Right, about Passover and the coming years, yes.
Yeah. Have you been getting any additional items? Or?
Additional items, we had the discussion last week that I mentioned to you, was that, why did I tell you? You know, I don't remember, you should have recorded me.
I don't remember what you said.
You should have recorded. What I said was that, as far as I remember, that what we have now with the health is not a plague. Is it a plague yet? Heaven forbid it should be, but it's not a plague yet because we have in protection from our forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They are protecting us because God is having mercy on us big time. But they are protecting us because they're praying for us, because I see that column that they are praying for us. But they all are, but especially our forefathers. They're praying for us. Otherwise, it would be worse than what it is now. Because God is very angry at us. And things would, well, hopefully it won't become worse. But this year is, like I said on Passover, this year is supposed to be a transformation year for the people. Like it was on Exodus and Purim. People had to transform. They had to wake up. Well, we have to wake up. Everyone, the whole world. And I said other things I don't remember. You know.
Coincidentally, the scientists say that the virus lacks a particular gene that would make it be much more virulent. So coincidentally, the creation of the virus had God's mercy within it, so, which is why it's going so slowly.
It's going slowly. Otherwise, it would watch for it. Would, it's not. It, it's not. That's what I said. It's not a plague. Should I mention about the water?
Yes, of course.
And Hanoch just asked me to mention about the blessed water that is out now. That also was in my conscience to do 4 years ago, 5 years ago. But then again, I said, I just dismissed it. I said, never mind. And then last week, I had two messengers out of nowhere coming to me to change, to bless the water and to change the ingredients, not the physical, but the spiritual ingredients into one of more positive and more aspect of back in the creation. The reason I say creation is because what happened was when Adam was medicine or the water, like they degenerated, they went down and they descended from the
creation. Adam descended,
right? In lower, he's more physical. Everything went into a lower understanding, lower consciousness, including water. So the message I got with this, the blessed water, since creation, water like this hasn't been around. This is the message I got, and for people that had tested it, they drank and they put on their body. When they had some illness, they were cured. And for it not hasn't been long time that it's out. It's since Passover. The first blessed water that came out was 7 days of Passover, and this is the second time that it was blessed on Rosh Chodesh Iyar, on Shabbat, which is included healing, sustenance, just all the blessings of the world that have been channeled into this water. And again, since creation, water like this hasn't been around. I was surprised. I asked, how could that be? They said, that's the way it is. You know, this is the time. And right after that, the sickness from Mexico happened. So I thank you all for listening, and here's Hanoch.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Does anybody have any questions for Avraham? If you're on the conference call, and you can hit *6 to unmute your phone, if you'd like in advance, ask any questions for him.
Any particular blessing for us to go to water?
The prayer.
Somebody came?
Yeah.
You say the normal blessing of Shakol Niyabi Faro. And if you put the water on your body, there's no specific blessing, but you should have the meditation of the 72 name Mem He Shin. And one of the interesting things about water, it represents the energy of chesed, the energy of mercy, the energy of sharing. And so if you mix the blessed water on a level of at least 10 to 1, it will transform the water that you're mixing it with into blessed water. Whatever you feel. You can put one liter bottle in for the bath. It'll be enough to transform the whole bath to be this positive water.
Now, any particular moon during the month that is, you know, the most positive for us to bless the water?
No. Avraham is doing the blessing of the water with a special kavanah, a special kavanot, special intention, special prayers that he is thinking about at that time based on what he's received is the appropriate thing to do. But he's doing that only at certain times, because not every time is a positive time that the universe, the cosmos, is supportive of this action. So he knows those times. One of them is Pesach, one of them is, or the seventh day, one of them is the Rosh Chodesh of Iyar. You know, another day would be the Lag BaOmer. Another day would be Shavuot. And another day would be the portion of Pinchas, the Shabbat of Pinchas. But, you know,
I just channel the energy to the water. I just channel it. All you have to do is just drink.
Any other questions before we move on? Yes, America. Okay, America is asking about Pesach Sheni, which is this Friday. It's actually Thursday night. And right. What I explained in the email is Pesach Sheni takes place because in the desert there were a group of people who were impure through having touched a dead body. The dead body they touched was Joseph. They were carrying his bones from Egypt to be buried in Israel. And they carried it for 40 years. But they felt they wanted to be close to the light. They wanted to be close to God. And they were tamei, which meant they could not participate in the Paschal sacrifice, in the Pesach sacrifice. So they asked Moshe what they could do. And Moshe, as the Bible says, fell on his face, meaning he meditated, he connected to God, to get an answer. And God said they are right, that they can do and connect to the exact same energy on the 15th or the 14th day of Iyar, just as it was the 14th day of Nisan. So Friday is the 14th day. And the connection that we make is actually simpler because you don't go through all of the Seder, but it's the same energy of connecting to the light of God, of drawing closer to the light of God. And the action that you do is to have some matzah. And that particular night is one of the Sfirot, which is Chesed Shebichod. And on Monday night, as Abraham was talking about Lag BaOmer, that is Hod Shebichod. And they basically represent two aspects of the same thing, which is potential of the revelation of God without the limitations of the physical world. God is much more powerful when he's not limited by the physical world. And yet, we are here for a reason in the physical world. So there's a purpose behind it. And it appears to be a paradox, but it really is two aspects of the same thing. Both holidays, Pesach Sheni and Lag BaOmer, come to us as ways of connecting to this energy. Most people are not aware. Most Jewish people totally don't do it. In Israel, Lag BaOmer is a holiday of lighting bonfires. Nobody knows why they light bonfires, but you light the bonfire to connect to the passion and the energy and the strength of the revelation of God. But outside of Israel, almost nobody is aware of Lag BaOmer. Almost nobody is aware of Pesach Sheni and what to do and why. And as Rabbi Ashlag teaches, if you want to know what's important to do in the rituals of the Jewish world, look to the people. The things that everybody does, that's not as important as the things that nobody does. Nobody does Pesach Sheni. Friday morning, make sure you eat some matzah. Wash your hands, say the blessing of bread over the matzah. Say the Berkat, the blessing after the eating of a meal. Just by making that connection, you are connecting to the potential revelation of light without the physical limitations. And that energy can be brought down to this world through the Lag BaOmer holiday, which is on Monday. Are there any other questions? Okay, thank you, Abraham, for coming.
Thank you.
And
thank you, Robin.
So, we are now talking about the Sfirot, which is the lesson for tonight. And we are continuing the discussion of the four phases and the spherot themselves. We have talked about Keter and Chochmah, and now we are going to be talking about Bina. We're going to be talking about phase two. Bina is the sphera that the word translates as understanding. Bina is part of the brain. Bina is logic. Bina is understanding. We receive from Chochmah that flash that Rabbi Avraham was talking about. He got a flash. That insight that we all get from time to time. Most of the time we ignore it. We don't think about it. We don't trust it. It's called intuition. And we spoke about that with Chochmah. But then our job is to bring that insight into form in the place of Bina, into understanding, into logic, into asking questions of why. Why did I get this insight? What am I to do with this insight? And in the Sefer Yetzirah, it describes this concept of running and returning. We run to intuition to receive the flash, and we return to the logic and the understanding and the lower level. And then we run back to the insight, and then we bring it back to with us to the level of understanding. And this relationship of running and returning is how we deal with our own intuition, how we deal with knowing what is the right thing for us to do, how we deal with cause and effect. All of this is related to the Sphira of Bina, of understanding. In the frame of the phases as taught by Rav Ashlag, remember that the vessel came into existence to reveal the light. And phase one, the vessel was fulfilled. It didn't really have a desire for the fulfillment. It just was. But as a cup becomes warm when it's filled with hot coffee, as a cup, the vessel takes on the attributes of what fulfills it. Phase two, or Bina, takes on the attribute of the fulfillment, the attribute of the light. And there is only one essence, one consciousness in the light. And that is unconditional love, sharing. The difference between Chochmah, which represents our intuition, and Bina, which represents our understanding and our logic, that difference is the transformation from sharing to I want to share. The addition of the ego of the vessel. That's Bina. That is the beginning of evil. Bina is not evil. Bina is one of the upper three spherot. Bina is always in unity with Keter and Chochmah, and Bina are always in unity. They're referred to as the Gimel Rishonot, the three upper spherot, the three higher levels, and they are totally and constantly and never separated from each other. And we speak of them as separated because from our perspective, talking about the spherot, they look like there's one on the right and one on the left and one in the center. But in essence, they are one vessel that has different consciousness at the same time that they don't have different consciousness. And that sounds like a paradox. It's hard to understand it. But the question we have to ask is, how does God, the light, create evil? If God is only essence, is unconditional love, how can evil come from that? And the answer is, it doesn't. It comes from the level called Bina. It comes as a potential in the level called Bina. Bina is not evil, but evil is the concept of ego, the concept of desire to receive for oneself alone, the concept of I. What is the concept of I? I am more important than you. That's evil. It may be truthful, because I'm obviously more important than the person who's homeless on the street, aren't I? Aren't I? Gloria shaking her head no. What is the concept of I? I'm just one of many?
Unique.
I am unique? God is unique. I'm just another human being. I'm one of the slave laborers in the concentration camps, which was what I was in my last lifetime. Yes, Patricia.
I have a question. Okay, Keter is a light, and then Chokmah is the potential male.
And then Chokmah
the
is
female is Bina, the beginning of evil.
Chokmah is male.
Male, okay.
Meaning sharing.
Okay, when
Bina is female, meaning receiving.
Now, when I was reading,
and we're talking just relative to each other, because ultimately, Bina is the mother.
Right.
Providing for all of the children and all the generations and everything that comes after.
Okay.
So you have to understand that we're referring to a relative situation.
Okay.
And everything is relative.
But Bina is also spirit. It's what I read about.
Bina is mind. It's spirit and mind. Chokmah is mind. Chokmah is intuition. Bina is logic. They both take place in the mind. They both take place in the head.
In the mind.
Keter, Chokmah, and Bina. The level of head. Keter is a crown that rests on the head. Chokmah and Bina are the level of the two brains that exist. Well, it is true and it's not true. So I don't want to explain it that way. I understand what you're saying. It's not that it's too early. It leads to an understanding that is not really correct. And I'd rather get to the same place in a different way. God forbid it's my way.
What I read about the formation of this major faith, this Adam Kadom, which is considered as the higher faith of the Sephiroth, is that it wasn't made Keter and then Chokmah first, but it was simultaneously made, and Bina was not like female, and Chokhmah was the male. But it was the spirit of the mother of our generation, not a woman, not a female, not as the feminine.
You are mixing metaphors. And it's a mistake that many students make. When you read the books of Kabbalah, they use different terminology.
Okay.
And people think it's the same thing. But in the Hebrew language, there is no such thing as a synonym. All of these terms are metaphorical. They're describing metaphysical items, spiritual things, spiritual concepts, spiritual energies. But they're using physical perceptions. They're using physical metaphors. So Keter is a crown. Is it a crown that I put on the king? No, it's a metaphor for me to understand the concept of Keter, the concept of what is a seed, the concept of what does it mean to be a king. These are metaphors. Now you use the term Adam Kadmon. Adam Kadmon is Keter. So why does it have a different term? It's a world. It's Keter having been fulfilled by the light. That's what it means when it says world. It's metaphors. You cannot mix metaphors. When you mix metaphors, you make wrong conclusions. Always understand what is the metaphor you're dealing with and how it relates. With that answer, the question that you're asking is, were the spheroids physical? No, they are absolutely not physical. And it is absolutely paramount, according to Rabbi Ashlag, who, when you read his words, seems like he's jumping up and down and screaming at you, don't see it as physical. I'm using physical terms. I'm using physical expressions. I see the branch in my world of the physical, in the world of Asiyah. What is the branch? That couch is a branch. In the world of Yetzirah, there is a manifestation of the energy of that couch. It has the same name. In the world of Yetzirah, it's called couch. In the world of Briah, the world of creation, the next higher world, there is a couch. Is it look the same? Is it the same? Is it physical? Absolutely not. It is a branch. But it's called couch. In the higher world, the world of Atzilut, it is a branch. In the world of Keter, there is a couch. In the world of Adam Kadmon, there is a couch. I'm describing a couch. What is the essence of a couch? A desire to make a human being comfortable. Okay? But is that all that a couch represents? In the physical world, it also represents the opportunity to do cleaning. Because dust sits on the couch. And my mother-in-law, if she came over to my house, would get upset if there was dust on my couch. So I have to clean it. Is that true in all of the other levels? Both of those energies are opposite of each other. In the spiritual world, what makes separation? Consciousness that is different. In the physical world, what makes separation? Distance.
Consciousness that is what?
Different. Chokhmah has a consciousness You want to be revealed light, I'll reveal you. Is there a desire there? No. Is there anything going on there? It's almost no movement at all. It's almost no aspect of desire at all. It's, I'm sitting in a pool of water. I'm sitting in a pool, meditating as the sun sets, listening to some classical music. Floating. This is the consciousness that Hasma has. That's a metaphor. I'm giving you an explanation and a metaphor from my own life, because I've had the experience of sitting in a pool on a float while the sun went down that I was watching, while I was listening to classical music playing over this whole environment, and it was absolutely the most beautiful, wonderful, serene moment of my life. In Club Med, of course. For me, this represents Chokhmah, the essence of serenity, the essence of intuition, the essence of non-movement. But now I'm becoming Bina. I woke up from this non-movement. I woke up when the music ended. I woke up when the sun had set. I woke up and said, it's cold. I woke up, Bina says, I want to share. I is waking up. I separates from non-movement. I separates. Hakma separates from Bina because Bina has the consciousness of I. And Chokhmah doesn't have the consciousness of I. The consciousness of Chokhmah is, you want, okay. The consciousness of Bina is, I want to share. This change of consciousness creates phase two, creates a different vessel, creates cause and effect. The cause was the light fulfilling Chokhmah. Chokhmah taking on the aspect of the light of sharing caused the effect of the creation of I. How long does it take to do that? There was no time. There was no space. There was no distance. In the spiritual worlds, there is no time or space. So what came first? Chokhmah comes before Bina. But they happened at the same instant. It's a metaphor. What does it mean, the same instant? There's no time. How do I understand this? That's the mixing of metaphors that leads you to the wrong conclusions. So be very careful with it. As we talk, as you listen to what we're going to do over the next few weeks, talking about the four phases, once you understand the four phases, you can go deeper into Kabbalah. When you don't understand the four phases, you create conditions that lead you to wrong conclusions. And it's a very dangerous thing. But all students of Kabbalah do it, because we don't find Rabbi Ashlag so easily. We read a book on Kabbalah, and we have people telling us that Keter is this, and Chokhmah is this, and Bina is this, and Chesed is this, and so forth and so on. But it's really experiencing. Kabbalah is meant to be utilized, to be experienced, to be understood in a way that I can bring it into my life and utilize it, experience it. And by experiencing the wisdom, I experience God. And that's a metaphor. And what was the question you wanted to ask?
Which is that then Bina separates from
Bina is separate from Chachma from our perspective. Okay. From Bina's perspective, it's still Chachma. It wants to share. It has a consciousness, I want to share. It's constantly in unity with the fulfillment that is represented by Chachma. That's why I can go up and connect to my intuition and bring it down and connect it to my logic. And know that my logic is the beginning of evil. A is something is relative to B. B is relative to C. A is relative to C is a conclusion that I don't do logically. We've all heard these metaphors before. All ultimately, logic is a tool of the negative side. Know that, and yet know we're supposed to be logical. Know that we're supposed to be intuitive. Know that we're supposed to be balanced between the two. What does all of that mean? I have no idea, but I experience it in my life. That's intuition. If I could explain it to you in words, I'm bringing it to a level that will cause you to find, to draw to the negative side. We're talking about the Sefirot, very important. We're talking about the four phases, which are not physical. But everything in the physical world goes through the process of four phases. We're talking about the Sefirot, which are essences, energies, and process. Love is an energy. We can all agree to that statement. Is love a process?
Yes.
Why do we say you fell into love? We fall into love. Why don't we say we grow into love? The way we use words tells us many things. Love is a process. Life is the process of learning to love. Right?
Unconditional.
Or is life the process of learning to hate? When people came out of the concentration camps at the end of the Second World War, they took two different directions, generally speaking. One continued to be religious, very small percentage. Others hated Germans. They had learned to hate. Maybe they hated before. They separated themselves in Poland when they were living there. Most of the Jewish world was in Poland and the other Balkan countries. They came out of the camps, and they had learned to hate. Or they came out of the camps, and they learned to continue their religion. Didn't say that they learned to love. We speak of the Torah in a few more days, a few more weeks. We are going to celebrate the term is Matan Torah, the gift of the Torah. Did I receive the Torah? Why is it called the gift of the Torah? There's no circuit of energy in a gift. I give a gift to my children. My gift is love. I give a gift to my friend. My gift is love. From God's perspective, He gave us a gift, which is love, which is Torah. From our perspective, have we received it? Have we taken this love and abused it? We live in exile. Yes, Israel is coming back. Israel is being born again. Tshuva is being done on some level. And it is changing. But have we received the Torah? Have we received this love? God loves you. You've heard the expression. What does it mean? Chachma and Bina are always in zivug. They're always in intercourse. This is a sexual metaphor. The Kabbalah is filled, the Zohar is filled with sexual metaphors.
It is.
It is.
It is.
Filled with sexual metaphors. Why did God create male and female? One is sharing and one is receiving. That's the word male. On a spiritual level, we say male in the physical world, we talk about a man. We talk about a penis. We talk about orgasms. We say female in the physical level, we talk about a womb. We talk about manifesting. We talk about creating children. We talk about breastfeeding. Well, hopefully we talk about orgasms too, but it's on a different level.
There is a passage in the Zohar that explains the beginning.
Yes.
As a woman attracting the energy from a man.
Correct.
And I was like, I don't think I'm doing this, I'm reading this properly, but...
No, you are reading. It's a metaphor. Sexuality is a metaphor. Where does sex come from? Where does love come from? Is love in your heart or your head? Is chachma, is it intuitive or is it logical? The balancing of those two essences is what the four phases come to create. Chachma, phase one, I am. Ina, phase two, I want to share. The difference in the consciousness. I'm going to end the conversation here, because it's been an hour of which he took up all the time, God forbid. But I think it's a good place to end.
Don't refer to me as he.
Abraham. I think it's a good place to end because we have talked about a lot of thoughts, none of which are clear. They need to be thought about. They need to be roaming around your head. They need to be used in your week. Questions? Yes. We've only gotten to phase two. The four phases are I am, the Chachma level. I want to share, the Bina level.
Right.
I no longer have the level of Zeron Pin. And phase four is I want what I had back. I yearn to have it. That's true desire. Those four phases is an amazing revelation that Rabbi Ashlag did, and no other Kabbalist before him describes it in the same way. The third one is I lost what I had. But obviously there's much more detail to understanding each of those phases, which is why I'm taking so long in explaining it. And we'll continue all the way through it. Rabbi Ashlag wrote a book called Esther Sefirot, the Ten Sefirot. He took the writings of the Ari that are mixed in various places that were written as a stream of consciousness approach. And Rabbi Ashlag took these phrases and put them into an order that starts at the beginning, Keter, and ends at the final physical world, Malchut. He did that in 16 chapters. I myself have only studied through the first 5 chapters. I know people who have studied all 16. They're just as crazy as me.
Yeah. No, there was one aspect that I have so much, passion for the book about the lightning concept. When, you know, when you talked in the beginning about how Malchut was receiving, you know, the least light.
Malchut has no light.
Has no light.
Malchut has no light of its own.
Of its own.
But it has the potential to reveal all of the light.
Wow. I thought it's a light. Well, they do have a concept of a lightning.
It's a metaphor.
It's a, general, you know,
it's a metaphor.
All these concepts, like the snake, you know.
In the Torah, in Genesis, but I forget which portion. Out in the middle of nowhere, there's these 10 or 15, 20 verses that say, before there was a king in Israel, there were 8 kings in Edom. And it's totally out of left field. I mean, it has no relationship to anything about the story. But the Ari teaches us that this is describing the first creation, where the Sephirot had no ability to communicate with each other. So Chachma was pure Chachma, and Bina was pure Bina, and there was no relationship. They had no way of taking the essence of one and revealing it in the essence of the other. What happened is the vessels broke when they tried to do that. They had no ability to do that. The vessels broke. Metaphor. They shattered, and all of this light was spread through the universe. And our job is just to pick up that light and elevate it back up. So when you do a mitzvah, you're picking up a spark of light, breaking the klipah off of it, and sending it back up. When you make a left turn and you waited for the person to cross the street and you didn't swear at them, you're picking up a spark, breaking all the klipot, all the shells off it, and elevating it up. Metaphors. Different metaphors. Different human beings who saw the connections of the world, the essence and the process in unity, who described it using physical terms. And now we have all of these books written on Kabbalah using all of these same terminology, but nobody understands it from the standpoint of metaphor. It's, let me read what's here. And as the Zohar says, if you read the Torah as if the stories are literal, you're a fool. If you read the books of Kabbalah as the metaphors are physical, you're being foolish. Understand the metaphors. Don't mix the metaphors. There's a reason why they're described that way. I've talked to you before about the fish in the fish tank. And the glass on each side of the fish tank is a different color. And the people standing outside of the fish tank, the guy on the red side of the red glass says the fish is red. And the guy on the green glass says the green fish is green. And the guy on the yellow glass says the fish is yellow. So what color is the fish? The metaphor is the green color, the yellow color. Different aspects, different roots of souls that will resonate with different metaphors. Study the metaphors. Learn them all. Don't mix them.
But I'm not joking. The fish had to be white.
Because?
So that they would see different colors.
No. If the fish was green, they'd still see green on the green side and red on the red side, because the only light that's allowed through the glass is the color that's on that side.
On the glass.
Mm-hmm. So the fish does not have to be white. What's the reason for the fish being white or the? What's the difference for different colors? We're sitting here, a group of 10 people or so. Are there 10 people or is there one? What do you see? You see 10. You know there's one. How do you know it? Because I've taught you that everybody is unified. You don't believe it. You don't practice it in your life. But you know it. I hold up my hand and I cut this finger. All parts of the body, every atom in this body unifies in removing the pain of this finger. Science is working on experiments that prove that. When you talk to a flower, it grows better. All of this consciousness of unity. Metaphors. Why are there different colors? Because there's different desires to receive. Why are there different desires to receive? Because the light has different aspects. And the light wants to be revealed in all of its aspects. But something limited, finite, cannot reveal infinity. It can only reveal finite. So, a metaphor that resonates with one person means that the root of that person's soul is the same as the person who did the writing and described the metaphor. Does it mean that I shouldn't know it because it's not the root of my soul? No. I need to learn it as well because it expands and unifies myself so that I'm looking at the fish from the top, where there is no glass, and I can see the whole system. This is what Kabbalah ultimately strives to get us to do, expand our consciousness so that we see the totality. Gloria.
Yeah, okay, I'm a little confused.
Good.
You said that Bina is female.
Bina is female.
And it's the receiving end.
Bina is receiving, relative to Chachma, but not relative to Zeron Pin.
But you also said that Bina means I want to share.
Correct.
So how could you receive and want to share? I don't get it.
If I take this and I pour it into here, What's sharing and what's receiving? If I pour this into here, who's sharing? This one?
Yeah.
This pitcher is sharing. Yeah. The glass is receiving.
Okay.
Where did the orange juice come from that came into the pitcher?
From the orange.
Well, ultimately, it comes from the orange. So was the pitcher a vessel of receiving at some point? Bina is receiving. It's female. Relative to Chachma, which is male of sharing. Bina is sharing relative to Zeron Pin. Male and female is always relative to your frame of reference. That's a term that makes sense for me to use. It makes sense to me, and I've constantly used it, but it may not be meaningful to you, so you'll come up with your own term that means something to you. Everything is relative. Everything. There's no one truth. Everything is relative. My truth is not your truth. Your love is not my love. Your revelation of the light of God is different than mine. But we're both revealing the light of God. Therefore, we're both in unity. Therefore, there is no separation. Therefore, all of this logic to understand who I am.
But there is only one truth?
There is more than one truth.
If I go and slap Patricia, why I'm doing this, it's okay. You could go, the truth is that I slapped her.
No. No, actually, the truth is that she needed to feel this pain, and you were the channel that God picked.
Thank you, Hanuk. Okay. So I should thank the dog that bit my lip?
Absolutely. You thank Hashem for giving you the opportunity to cleanse. And you... And then you thank the dog for being the channel.
Okay, let's
but never forget that God is the ultimate source, the cause.
Let's go back. Where's the original question? Okay, the question is like when they look at the facts, like for example, like attorneys, they said this is it.
Hold the thought because we're running out of time on the recording. Is there any questions from anybody on the conference call? If not, I'm going to call it to an end, but we're going to continue here. Tomorrow night at 10 o'clock is the Zohar session for the Parasha of Emor, and also on Thursday. And I wish you all Chag Sameach, and make the strong connection to Pesach Sheni and Lag BaOmer. Have a beautiful evening, a beautiful week.
Okay.